We're visiting with Bob Zimmerman of BehindTheBlack.com. He has a new piece out called The Muzzle of Oppression. Bob, tell us what it says.
Well, all right, it's pretty simple. Originally, I've been calling this mask-wearing demand that our control-freak society is forcing on everyone to be a mask of ignorance, because nobody wears them correctly. The way you're supposed to wear them requires that you replace them frequently. You don't touch them. You don't touch them with your hands. You don't touch them with your hands. You really need to have a really good type of material. No one does it that way. They're not antiseptic. They're not kept clean. People reuse them. They take them out of their pockets. They touch them all the time. None of that is going to block the virus. If anything, it makes the virus a pathogen gatherer on your face, exactly where you breathe. It's useless. And in fact, the now terrible spike in cases, partly because of testing, but partly because the virus is spreading, I think is as much the caused by mask use as anything. If anything, it proves that masks have accomplished nothing, because we've been told to wear them since the late spring, and it hasn't done anything to stop the spread of this virus, which, of course, all medical advice and science has told us for decades that this mask use is useless. This doesn't mean improper use. In a lab, in a surgical setting, a mask doesn't have value.
Well, actually, they only have value for large particles, even in a surgical setting. That's why
absolutely.
I've had so many surgeons tell me that they have nothing to do with viruses.
I'm sorry, Robert. I want to get right to the point. I just want to point out this. The point I'm making with this essay was not whether masks are good or not. I'm pointing out the improper use is a failure. There's arguments about whether proper use is good. The bottom line, though, is that the mask has nothing, and now has nothing to do with protecting us. The mask is a symbol of oppression. It is a symbol being used by those in power to tell everybody that you are a slave. That you go into a store and you see everyone wearing masks. Everybody, I don't wear a mask. And I'm in there, and I look around, and everyone looks to me like they are they've been muzzled like a dog. They're not free. They're fearful. They've been told what to do, and they're doing it, even though it's irrational to do it.
What I've
most been disturbed, Robert, is that I know conservative individuals who are with me when we go out to do something. We get back to have dinner, and they get out of their car, and they take out of their pocket, which of course is not antiseptic, their mask, and they put it on to walk into the restaurant and sit down and take the rest of the mask off for the rest of the meal, and then put it back on for just the short walk outside. And if that isn't irrational and stupid, I don't know what is.
Bob,
it's not going to accomplish anything, but it does accomplish one thing, which it proves you are a slave to the orders being given to you.
Well, I call those people the rule followers that don't check to see whether the rule is rational or not. I've talked about this at length on the show. I observe this constantly. Told about it 2 weeks ago. This weekend, we took a party of people into a little restaurant that's dying to stay open. We went in there, walk in there, and they insisted we all don masks to walk 12 feet so then we can then take them off.
I just laughed and went somewhere else.
But I mean, the irrationality of this is what proves the point.
The rule in Arizona is that if you state you have a medical reason, they can't ask you why, they can't demand a mask of you. And I would refuse. And if they still insisted, I'd find another place to eat. They want their business, they get it. And that's what people have got to start doing. If you really want to defend freedom here, and you think the mask doesn't make sense, then you have to stop participating in this. You have to make the other side sweat. You have to say, no, I'm not going to wear it, or you're not going to get my business. And if enough people start doing that, several things will happen. One, people will start to see people without masks. They won't be so pressured to wear them. And secondly, businesses that might start seeing business being lost because of mask demands might stop doing it. But people aren't doing this, and this is why I'm really think the nation is going to fail. Because if people really believed in freedom, the irrationality of these mask demands would cause them, without question, to refuse to do it. And instead, everyone is bowing to the will of the rulers, and that's very depressing, and that's what, you know, it makes everyone look like a dog, a subjugated dog, and that's what people want. This is the society they want to live in, and that's what I fear, that it seems to me that people are now willing to accept this, and that's terrible.
That's the exact same thing that bothers me the most about it all, and that is, and I've been in multiple states during this time and had to deal with it in a state where between you and me in New Mexico, where you have a governor who is an extreme dictator leftist Democrat.
Yeah.
And in Texas where we have the orders too. But, you know, I run into people though who they just constantly believe that you can't get in a discussion about the science of it, except with very, very few people. It's just like gun control and things of that nature. It's a reflexive emotional statement. And the reason I feel so negatively towards the future of the country, so cynical, is this rule following. You know, following, we're a people of law and order. Rule following is fine, but we also, all those people that believe in law and order, all our great founders also talked about the need to, you know, unjust laws and things of this nature. It is not correct to follow them. But the rule following when it's patently absurd, and it's exactly what you talked about. Oh, I put it on here. I've taken it off here. I've got a friend of mine who had the greatest line about it when I was telling him this about watching everybody come in by themselves into a fairly empty place where they were not near a person, all business people with the mask on. And then they all wore the mask. Then they all went in a big room around a big table to meet. And because it was a luncheon, and they were spaced apart, but they weren't 2 or 3 meters apart, which wouldn't matter anyway, they all took the mask off, enjoyed visiting. It was kind of loud. I walked by there going out. They're all visiting. Then they put it back on as soon as they're going to leave. The point is, he said, well, it's a polite virus. You know, this virus knows, and it only attacks you when you're walking or when you're, you know, getting out of the car. There is an incredible irrationality about this, irrespective to whether the masks work or not, that should cause a free people to simply just say, this is absurd, and walk away. And now, you know, two companies that I've always done lots of business with this time of year for Christmas sales, this is the first year since they built near where I live that I have not been in their stores. And one reason is not just the mask. They pretty well leave you alone. It's because they've put it in their damn commercials. They're part of the propaganda, and I'm not going to do it. And my wife, who comes from a country that doesn't enjoy these freedoms, is much more strident on this than am I, because it deeply disturbs her. Exactly what you say. It looks like you're walking into a dystopian science fiction film from back when everybody was a rule follower, you know, Soylent Green or something. It's just shocking.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. We, for 50 years, people have been watching films about these terrible, oppressive utopias, so-called utopias, where everyone's got to follow orders, and it's always a terrible thing, and you shouldn't obey, and the hero is always someone who resists. And yet now we're in a society where this is what everybody wants. I'm sorry, I ain't going to participate. And what I really am begging people to start doing is say no. You got to take the mask off.
That's right. Do like we do.
I'm not going to do it. If you are a Trump supporter and you wear a mask in these stupid situations, then you are not in favor of freedom, and it doesn't matter who you voted for.
All right,
hold
on.
You are all in favor of oppression. And
the clock has got us. Can you stay on and visit with us the next segment?
Sure.
In his new essay out is The Muzzle of Oppression. Bob, it's interesting because all of this echoes the leftist problems with, for example, economic theory. A lot of it looks really good on a blackboard in an academy, but it ignores human behavior. And, of course, when people won't behave in the way that they think people are supposed to behave, that always devolves into tyrannical coercion, always. And your essay really starts out demonstrating that just on the mask, not arguing their efficacy, but showing this WHO thing on do's and don'ts. Well, in the real world, and that's why even that New England Journal of Medicine piece said we know these don't really have any good use except in a healthcare setting, because in the real world, people simply cannot or will not perform in the way that these theorists expect us to. And again, it's an echo of their economic policy on everything. And when then people won't do what they think looks so neat on a blackboard, it turns into utter coercion in this subject, because they've so successfully frightened people to death over the Wu flu. A lot of people don't even seem to recognize the absurdity of the rule following, given the way that that people go about following it. And this leads us to that, what you used to call or begin posts with, the coming dark age, where rationality, the enlightenment's been turned upside down. We must follow dogma, even when dogma is laughable, as it was daily for, say, citizens of the Soviet bloc.
This gets back. You mentioned, you know, Western civilization, the Enlightenment. The heart of the Enlightenment and science and the scientific method and Western civilization is the search for truth. The ability to put your emotion aside and recognize that even though you firmly believe this is true, if the facts tell you otherwise, you abandon your emotional commitment to that theory and you go with the truth, which comes down to what I call intellectual honesty. You've got to be intellectually honest with yourself. You know, it's bad enough someone else fools you, but you shouldn't be fooling yourself. And everything that's been happening in the last 30 years, from climate change, the corruption of that science field, to the use of masks in COVID now, to the incessant lies spread by the Democrats having to do with Trump, going back to Clinton lying repeatedly, all comes down to a willingness to be intellectually dishonest with others and as with yourself. And if you do that, you're moving into a fantasy land, which means you're no longer dealing with reality. And that's what we're dealing with right now. A vast number of people in our intellectual, so-called intellectual society now, don't deal in reality. The so-called female health expert from Pennsylvania is a guy who likes to cross-dress, and he wants to declare himself a woman, but he's still a guy. And that doesn't change the reality of that. And this is going back to every one of these issues. The intellectual honesty has been abandoned for feel-goodism and a lot of people
are being co-opted by the propaganda of fear. For example, I've been talking to people and writing commentaries, again, sadly, having to talk about Wu flu almost every day, with this idea that it's being hyperbolized to the extreme, even in your local media. And some people don't really understand what I mean. Well, take this. This is an opinion columnist at the Detroit Free Press. I think the story's out today or yesterday. Headline, COVID has turned breathing into a deadly event and all of us into potential serial killers. Here's the first paragraph. As coronavirus burns an exponential path of destruction across the American terrain, which, again, not true, but nevertheless, an insidious blanket of shadow damage is quietly unfurling in its name. It's not just the death and scarred lungs. COVID-19 has turned every man, woman, and child into a potential serial killer. This purports to be a serious opinion column in the Detroit Free Press.
Yeah.
And it demonstrates how willing people are to simply cave to the dogma and ignore the rest. I've been going on and on about people that give you this cases. Excuse me, our state reports the active cases every day, and they're, you know, less than about a half a percent of the population. But everybody listening to the news would believe there's a million plus cases out there, and it's insanity. Now, that's irrational hyperbole.
Go ahead, Robert. Just let me insert something. I posted something just a few days ago about this Johns Hopkins scientist who reported that there have been no excess deaths using CDC data. Now, it can be argued about that data. I don't have any dispute with that. We argue about data. This is what science is all about. But what does Johns Hopkins, a university, do? They don't like what this scientist concluded looking at CDC data. They retract it instantly without any explanation. They censor it. They close it off. It's off the web. That is not being intellectually honest. That is denying the free market of debate.
Yes,
and that's
where they've become under such attack that they've since expanded their reasons for getting rid of it, and they're so non-intellectual and so ignorant, they don't understand that what they think they're saying is actually the point. Yes. They claim, well, they don't argue with the data. They just say, well, the CDC says there's 300,000 excess deaths. And they miss the whole point. That's what their own researcher is pointing out, that those numbers do not match the actual numbers at the CDC.
It's insanity. There's a problem there, and you have to deal with it if you're being intellectually honest. And there is no willingness to be intellectually honest. I'll tell you another thing about this that is really – I'm going to write a piece on this. I started it, but I haven't finished it, which is having to do with social media. When television first came out, it was astonishing what business companies discovered the influence of commercials, how it could really sell them a product. So social media is no different than that, and that's one of the issues that's influencing people. People don't realize how much social media, their smartphone, and what they see on it is influencing them. They see it, and you don't get much depth information on a smartphone, but if you see it repeated over and over again, it's the big lie.
Well, that's how propaganda works.
And I think a lot of people are getting captured by that and don't realize it.
Well, that's what the guy in the Wall Street Journal, I shared his piece yesterday, was talking about. It was real similar to this, is there actually too much testing, that I wrote about. One of my listeners, who is a well-known science writer like you, a registered nurse who writes on health issues, pointed out, that they're allowed this too much testing is allowing for the hyperbole and the over-citing of case numbers. And his point was, look, media is not doing its job. They're just in the repeating business. It's repeating. And I would like to have told him face to face, but that's the point. I mean, that's how propaganda works. By the way, we're going to extend just for a moment here at the segment and keep Bob with us just for a couple of more minutes. Bob, we've all heard about the Californians, the mayor, the governor, all this. They tell everybody they've got to do this, but then they do their own. We've got a big breaking story this afternoon in Texas. One of the most liberal people in Texas is the mayor of Austin. There are now headlines everywhere, even on the AP Wire. Here's the one in his hometown paper, The Statesman. Austin mayor stressed residents need to stay home, quote. That was a quote, need to stay home, while he was vacationing in Cabo. In fact, Mayor Adler hosted an outdoor wedding and reception with a bunch of guests for his daughter at a trendy hotel near downtown. The next morning, they boarded a private jet bound for Cabo San Lucas, where they vacationed for a week. And that's the night, that's when he was addressing the citizens with a Facebook video saying, we need to stay home if you can. This is not the time to relax. We're going to be looking really closely. We may have to close things down if we are not careful. But of course, that doesn't apply to him. So, you see this kind of stuff everywhere.
Yeah, and what I can't understand is why, and this has happened so many repeated times, it's almost ludicrous, and I cannot understand why the general public does not start to respond against it. Right. I mean, Joe Biden, he takes his mask off to cough. He removes the mask during his speech to cough. Now, tell me, is that insane? And this is consistent. You find politicians not wearing masks repeatedly, except when they're on camera, and except when they're trying to tell us what to do.
The media
but
people,
they
too.
They themselves don't follow the rules. Now, why are we obeying them? I don't understand it.
That's what I'm saying about being a rule follower. Being a law and order and rule follower, we are for order as conservatives. But when the rule following is absurd, it's time to be an independent, free-thinking human being and tell them not only no, but as you well put it, and I put it often, hell no. Bob Zimmerman, the website is behindtheblack.com. I encourage you to read it regularly, ladies and gentlemen. It's a place of thinking people.